Hey everybody, Andrew Fouts here. We're just giving you a brief heads up as to what to expect of the CSRM podcast over the next few weeks. Dr. Linville was recently on my show, Ministry Misfits, and we discussed muscular Christianity, what it was, what it is, what it's not, and how sports outreach ministry as a whole can be the key to all of this. So we have taken the full-length Ministry Misfits episode and chopped it up into CSRM podcast-sized pieces to share with all of you. So if you listen to today's episode and want to hear the full episode now rather than wait, you can hop on over to the Ministry Misfits pages, and you can listen to it there, or you can wait and it will be coming over the next few weeks. This is also a preview of some of the things you can expect out of the Agone Institute. The Agone Institute is our certification and education branch out of CSRM. If you are interested in learning more about all of this, feel free to contact us on the CSRM website or at the Overwhelming Victory website. You can also contact us over on the Ministry Misfits page or email Dr. Linville directly, and we can get you hooked up with all of that information. So, enjoy this Ministry Misfits episode on the CSRM podcast. Welcome back. We are still here with Dr. Greg Linville. And when we broke, he had just given us a brief history of what muscular Christianity looks like, starting in the UK in the early 1800s, ending up here in the US in the late 1800s, and then kind of falling off towards the end of World War II, beginning of or end of World War I, beginning of World War II era type of thing. And now we are getting into a little bit more of why all of this stuff actually matters to the church. Because we talked about the fact that the Greco model of athletics was all about religion and honoring the gods, and how, you know, the Roman influence is what kind of pushed it more secular. And now Dr. Linville is about to walk us through this happening again in the 1900s a little bit more, as far as the secularized version within the muscular Christian era and movement. So, Dr. Linville, we cut you off to go to commercial, but start walking us back through this. Where do we start seeing the secular slide?
Yeah, it happens really early, and that's quickly recap this muscular Christian era. And it starts, the roots of it, in about 1820, 1840 with Thomas Arnold. He was the headmaster at Rugby School. And Rugby School was not a school where you learn to go play rugby. It was a very prestigious, still is. You can still go there, see all these things at the school. Very prestigious, what we would call a private school in America. And it's where rugby came into being, and therefore the sport took on the name of the school, not vice versa. The movement flourished from 1860 to 1900 with the Studs, with Moody, with folks like John R. Mott, Stagg, you know, the Dean of American Football, Naismith, who invented basketball. These were all men who were trying to figure out what it meant to be a man of faith. Not that women weren't important, but for men, I'm a man, what can I do? And I'm gonna kind of help springboard from where that was in the 1860s to 1900s to see where we are today. There's four versions that men really represented back in that day. And if you start with Christianity and then build off of that, the sportianity was de Coubertin. And this is the knight as an athlete. That's become a man by becoming a knight, but I'm going to become an athlete. Mountianity, John Muir, a naturalist. Go out into the various woods and mountains and find Jesus there. Corporianity, you know, the corporate world, Carnegie, the knight as industrialist. And then revivality, Sunday, Billy Sunday, who left the professional baseball and became the knight as priest. And I think that then we come up And out of that, in the 1920s to 40s, then we come up to Eric Liddell and Harold Abrams that became these muscular Christian and muscular Jew. All right, so with that little bit of a review, we come and we start to see these four expressions of the muscular Christianity. I'm going to stop for a quick second and say that I have been lecturing on this for 3 or 4 decades, and in the 1980s, when I did this, and I would ask a room of 50 people, how many of you have heard of muscular Christianity? 25 to 50% of the room would raise their hand.
It still would be if you
Five
asked
years.
this room, because it was only
Five.
50% in this room
That's right.
5 years ago, I spoke to about 100 people at a Chautauqua, and I asked the same. And these, you have to understand, Chautauquas are some of the most educated, informed. They're the leaders of the country, of the world. Not one person 5 years ago raised their hand. This last summer, I was back at the same Chautauqua, and we were back up to about 15% that had heard it. It's recycling. So the four expressions I have said are classical UK. This is Thomas Arnold, Thomas Hughes, Thomas Brown. You just become a holistic person, and faith is just part of it. Then that USA model with Sherwood Eddy and what he began to help change in the YMCA, moving it from faith to just character and nothing to do with faith. Of course, the Dobertin and the Olympics, nothing. It becomes its own faith. But then with people like Little, it becomes how we can share our faith, not only how we can fulfill our faith, but we can share our faith. And this corresponds to what most people do when they try to integrate their faith and sport. And it's what I call that when they go into this, they go into it and they have a faith, they have a sport, and then as they try to integrate it, they're trying to figure out how do they do this. The first is what I would call sport over faith. Sport over faith. This is a secular expression of muscular Christianity, that they started with faith, but they capitulate their faith and they go completely, whatever the sport says, take performance-enhancing drugs, do it. Cheat, do it. Whatever you got to do. And then that would be what I would call an accommodation. I think I said capitulation, but that's an accommodation. But the capitulation is the Olympic model. It's all sport. There's no faith at all. None at all. And then there's the what I would call the rejection. And this is what a lot of people did. This would have been what C.T. Studd did, even Moody did to some degree. And they said, you know, there's things about sport that just are ugly and I can't reconcile. And so they left sport. And groups like Pop Warner Football and even the Hot Stove Baseball and some of these kinds of things that started with sport completely threw sport out. I'm saying they threw faith out completely. And there were others then that threw sport out completely and just left sport altogether. Billy Sunday became one of the greatest evangelists. I don't think people realize he held the stolen base record for decades. He was unbelievable in his sport, but he left it. And then there's that last one that is a redemption of sport, that people are trying to redeem the sport culture, but that's very, very difficult to do because, particularly as you go up, and we call about the progressive intensity levels of competition from no competition all the way up to professionalism, every level of those seven steps that you go up through, it becomes more and more difficult to hold on to your faith. And so for Little, who won a gold medal, where he said, I'm going to participate in sport as much as I can, except if it's on the Lord's Day. And people don't realize that he probably gave up four or five medals in 1924, not just the one that the movie says he gave up, because he gave up the one by 4x100, the 4x400. He gave up all of these, and he only raced in two. He won a bronze medal, beating Harold Abrams in that, in the 200, and then won the 400. And so he is one that tried to have a synthesis. He tried to involve both, integrate both, but he even had his, here's my line that I have to choose faith over sport and I have to reject sport. But most people are trying to keep them together and integrate them. But I'm going to give you a couple things here. And that is, when these two things come head to head and you have to choose whether I'm going to go to my Bible study or to a practice, I have to choose, I'm going to go to a worship service or compete. I have to choose to go with this team or my family. That's the places where it really, really gets tough. And so what this modern day muscular Christianity, I think part of what is trying to occur, what people are trying to experience today, are how can I get back to that Eric Little, that the faith, I never capitulated, I never accommodated, but I don't want to reject my sport either. And I don't want to reject what it means to be a man and have a manly faith in Jesus. And that's what we're struggling with in the midst of all of our culture.
And that's what really, you know, we're going to have the four expressions chart up here at this point while we're talking here. And really what we're seeing is, you know, we're going to end this podcast telling you how you can, where you can go to get help as far as doing the redeeming and the synthesis, that we're going to get there. But these other three sections, the faith over sport, the sport no faith, and the sport over faith, are the three that we are seeing the most arguments about right now. And largely because of what you just said, the one that we're going to get to is the hardest one. And so everybody kind of forgets about it in a way when they start going through these kind of different trials. But in addition to the faith over sport, all this other stuff, we also see you can replace sport with a couple other words as well. It's yeah. Not just faith over sport, it's also faith over culture, it's faith over TV, it's mm-hmm. faith over music, all this other stuff. You can also have, you know, replace all of that. Unfortunately, what we're seeing a lot right now, even in the sport over faith, where faith is not necessarily counted out, but it is now in second place under, insert here, you know, the most common right now within evangelical circles is country over faith. You know, you go, which is a very Roman-esque model of, we are doing this for the glory of the empire and for the gods of the empire, rather than we are doing this for God and country, which is the model that, you know, Eric Little models within the Olympic sport of, I'm doing this for my God, I'm doing this for my country, but I'm doing this mostly for my God, because when I run, I feel his presence, which is the famous quote from the movie. You know, those are the different things we're seeing. And so because of that, we're getting a lot of weird reactions within the church. And most of them are actually replacing the sport part of these different models with a different word. And so this is how we get into things like what those of you that listen to Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, you should go listen to it. It's a very good good documentary podcast that Mike Cosper out of Christianity Today did. But the rise and fall of Mars Hill highlights what was going on specifically at Mars Hill, Mark Driscoll's church. There, what we saw was a muscular Christianity where it was no longer we're going to put sport over faith, or we're going to redeem sport, or we're going to redeem the culture. It was, we need to put faith over everything else. And to do that, we have to actually put manliness over our faith. Because if we are real men, then our faith comes naturally. And what that produces is places for abuse. It puts in places for toxic masculinity. We also see this, unfortunately, right now going on. This is the argument within a number of different denominations where sex abuse scandals are starting to come out. Why are we not talking about it? Because in order to put faith over those sort of things, we have to protect our pastors. But in doing that, we are actually putting our pastors over our faith. And let me get
to the root of this. In my opinion, you said what happened? Why did muscular Christianity fade out? Tony Ladd, Jim Matheson wrote a book on muscular Christianity, and they gave us a rubric that is called the engagement, disengagement, reengagement. All right, you got it there?
There it is.
And that is brilliant. What does that mean? It means that all of a sudden in the 1800s, people started to have this idea, I can integrate my faith in my sport. I can integrate my faith into my masculinity. And so they had an engagement. But then what happened? There was a disengagement in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it happened because of the inability of the athletes and those involved to reconcile the cheating, the drugs, the deaths, the gambling, all the alcoholism that went along with sport. They couldn't integrate it. They couldn't reconcile it, and so they disengaged from sport. Now, again, this is Ladd and Matheson, and so. They then said there was a re-engagement, and we saw this then. It wasn't called muscular Christianity anymore. It was called sports outreach or the sports ministry era. And that began in the 1950s or so. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Athletes in Action, Pro Athletes Organization, Outreach rather. Anything that had an A in its name came in. Hockey Ministry International, all these groups.
What were we again before you guys finally cut it down? Wasn't it the NAACSRMACAC or something like that?
Yeah, it was unwieldy and riding everybody a NASCAR. But what happened then was this re-engagement, and both of the engagement, original engagement, and the re-engagement were both based upon pragmatics. The initial engagement was the pragmatic of, I can actually become this manly Christian. I can integrate my faith in sport. The re-engagement happened because the evangelical world, that fourth one of the expressions of muscular Christianity, said pragmatically, we can use sport as a tool to reach people for Jesus. Why was there a disengagement? Because they couldn't reconcile a lot of these theological and ethical issues. Why are we now having a current disengagement with sport and manliness? It's because we again are falling into the trap of not having a proper theology.
Right.
Both engagement periods were based on pragmatics, what works. Both of these disengagement periods are based on the fact of having faulty, very weak theology. This is why we're doing what we're doing with OVP, with OBR, with CSRM, we're trying to build the foundations of theology so that today women don't have to fear muscular Christianity, masculine Christians. They don't have to fear them because the men that are getting the solid theology about what it means to be a man means I can love my wife. I can serve my wife. I can care for my wife. I can care for my daughters. I can care for all women. I need to be for them what Christ was for the church, laying my life down, not asking them to lay their life down, but me laying my life down for them.
And that right there.
When we get the theology wrong, it becomes toxic.
The Ministry Misfits podcast is a production of Overwhelming Victory Flicks, Overwhelming Victory Radio, and Ministry Misfits Media. Dr. Greg Linville and Andrew Fouts are our executive producers, and Brandon Simmons is associate producer. Our music is provided by Morning Light Music and is titled Rain. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at ministrymisfitmedia@gmail.com or by following at Ministry Misfit on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can support Ministry Misfits at anchor.fm/ministrymisfits or for FO1C3 credit by going to csrm.org/donate and selecting Andrew Fouts in the campaign menu. To learn more about Overwhelming Victory or to listen to our sister podcast, visit overwhelmingvictory.org.